Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of March, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason, just a week away now from our all-day ag outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Still some tickets available. Limited number, but you can get in at 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. More on that later in the program. We'll talk today, of course, with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, about the futures, and we'll take a look at the agricultural energy segment with Harry Cooney. He's at Growmark in Bloomington, Illinois. And as we wrap things up, we'll discuss the weather forecast, too. It doesn't get much better all the way through March. Maybe we'll find out just a bit more when we talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this, Tuesday afternoon. Futures are like this in the grain pit. The corn contract at $3.82. That's up 3.25 for the day. May futures at $3.91, 3 cents higher. And July at $3.99 1/4, up 3. September at $4.06 3/4, up 3.25. December at $4.16 1/2, 3 3/4 higher. Rather, 3 1/4 higher. And the March contract at $4.25 1/2. That's 3 1/4 higher for the day. From the soy complex, nearby bean futures at $10.08 3/4 cents, down 2.5 for the day. May futures 1¼ lower on its settlement at $10.12 1/4, and July at $10.17 1/4, down 0.5. August unchanged at $10.15 1/4, September at $9.99 1/4, up 1, and November beans at $9.87 3/4, 2.5 higher. January of next year, $9.92, up 2.5 cents for the day. Bean meal futures at $3.41.80, down 2.50. Bean oil at $32.80, up 15. Wheat futures in Chicago for the soft red at $5.08 3/4, up 0.75 cents. May up 6 cents at $5.06, and July at $5.09 3/4, 5 3/4 higher. The Kansas City hard red up 4 cents for the day, and the nearby March at $5.25, July at $5.42, 9 1/4 higher. Live cattle futures now, nearby contract April $150.77 1/2 for 100 pounds, down $2.67 1/2. June at $143.32 1/2, down $2.47 1/2, and the feeder cattle finished the March at $202.40, down $1.70. Lean hogs at $65.55, 212.5 lower.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Now let's check the outside markets for the day. April crude oil at $65.57 1/2, $2.10 lower on the afternoon. If we check the rest of that marketplace, we see that the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 18,188. That's down about 60 points. And the U.S. Dollar Index at 95.41 is down 0.069 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. A 50% chance of rainfall today, cloudy, high near 40 degrees. Southwest winds at 6 to 18 miles an hour, gusting to 33. Outside the studio is about 36 at this hour. Tonight, a slight chance of rain mixing with some snow after 9. Gradually ending, mostly cloudy, a low of 16 degrees. Wind chills between 4 and 14, and west-southwest winds at 16 miles an hour. They'll turn to the northwest after midnight. Winds could gust as high as 23. Chance of precipitation this evening set at 20%. And then for Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies and a high of 20 degrees on a wind chill of 1 to 6. Northwest winds at 14 to 16. Wednesday night, cloudy and a low of just 2 degrees. Wind chills at 2 to 12 below. Northwestern winds at 9 to 15. Thursday, sunny skies and 15. Thursday night, clear and 2. Sunny on Friday, a high of 30 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy and 23. Saturday, sunny and 39. Saturday night, 23. Mostly sunny on Sunday and 41 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather. He, of course, is in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It is the third day of March 2015. This is Illinois Public Media. Let's check the marketplace with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana for Tuesday. Thanks, Wayne, for taking the time with us. We're a week away from a couple of big events, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate in March. Not a huge event, but the All-Day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House, we hope, is a really big event. What did you see in the marketplace today?
Well, you know, we saw a two-sided trade through the day, Todd. We saw a little bit of turnaround Tuesday early in the morning. Then we saw the funds sell it off as we went through the day. And then we saw a little short covering later in the day at the corn market coming back and closing positive area, and the bean market coming back and coming way off their lows towards the end of the day. So, you know, a lot of sort of mixed feelings out there, but, you know, not a bad day all considering.
Yeah, so soybeans went to a low of, what, $9.78, but managed to rally back 17 and three quarters to finish at 987 and three quarters. What happened in that marketplace? Was it an algorithm trade? Was there something else?
You know, of course, we had Informa. They're bucking the trend of a lot of other private analysts. Everybody else seems to be raising the Brazilian and Argentine crops. You know, as we looked at Michael Cordonier, basically he knocked Brazil a little bit, but made up for it in Argentina and left it pretty much the same, pretty much along the lines of the government. But Informa did lower the Brazilian crop, and he did lower the Argentine crop a little bit. So, but the Rio Grande do Sul yields continue to stay very good so far in what they're in there. But we're not up sure what happened. I think it was sort of an algorithmic trade that maybe they bounced down low enough, come back. You know, the May beans at 10, 12 of the 50-day moving average, they were trying to get back to that or above it.
Yeah, so the November now at 987 and three quarters. The $10 mark seems to be a place that people would like to get that marketplace. And new crop beans is that place that if people have not, and many have, should they go ahead and market some more soybeans? And what does it mean with crop insurance involved in the process now?
I think that, you know, we got a fair price at 973 with the beans for the insurance, but we'd sure like to get them up above $10 here to do any more marketing for right now. I think that, you know, if some weather possibilities come along, you know, we're hearing a lot of people talking about a wet, cool spring now. We're talking about possibly dry, big dry areas, you know, for the summer on the extended forecast. So, you know, we're sitting tight as far as marketing anymore unless we can get over $10 for beans right
now. Speaking of wet, cool spring, have you heard from the Delta region? Are they concerned about the cold weather they've had so far? They would normally be getting ready to go to the field if not already moving.
I think whenever it gets below 50 degrees, they're concerned in the Delta. But, yeah, there are a few there's a few people starting to talk, but they know it's going to warm up fast once the weather changes a little bit down there. So I think they'll get rolling. They're glad to have the moisture to start the spring.
What else have you been watching either in the currencies, the outside markets, or the commodities in general?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest thing that everybody's been watching has been the truck strike in South America down in Brazil. It's still sort of a thorn in the side. It's not really the major problem that was the beginning of the week, you know, the end of last week through the weekend and what we're looking at. They are getting things moving. Paranagua talks like they could have a little problems keeping up with everything, but all the rest of the ports are going to be loading full bore, never really lost a lick as far as loading boats out. So that's going good. You know, what's the next thing to drop? They generally have a longshoreman strike down there that could come up here in the next week if they feel they sort of have things held back and they can have some leverage at this point in time. You know, the dollar, you know, we're above 95. It's towards record highs. It's backed off a little bit today. The crude oil amazes us with up 81 today, above $50 again. We heard that Saudi Arabia did raise their price, and that's sort of putting stabilization there. But I think the biggest thing is Janet Yellen saying that it doesn't look like interest rates are going up for a while.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
All right. See you next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. We'll see Wayne Nelson over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, next Tuesday. Hope we can see you, too, if you haven't gotten your tickets. Still can at 217-333-7300 or online at WILLAG.org. Buy your tickets now. All the details are on our website at willag.org. Just look in the calendar section for our all-day Ag Outlook at the Beef House. We'll have a dozen of our regular analysts plus three extras. So all the folks that you hear on the air regularly, actually a baker's dozen. But one of those, Sue Martin, will be giving a special keynote address along with land values from Murray Wise and a quick look at livestock with Purdue University Extension Ag Economist Chris Hurt. Should be a fantastic day. It's just $25. If you'd like to attend, please do dial 217-333-7300 right now or go online at willag.org and buy your tickets today. Now, the man who puts it all together is with us now. That's Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming. He has the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Natural Resources Defense Council has filed a lawsuit against the Environmental Protection Agency in an effort to require the agency to conduct a new review of the widely used herbicide glyphosate and its effects on monarch butterflies. The organization's petition argues overuse of the herbicide has greatly reduced the number of milkweed plants that the monarch's larvae rely on as their sole food source. NRDC is asking the court to force EPA to respond within 30 days. A senior Japanese trade negotiator says a deal with the U.S. to move ahead with a Pacific Rim trade pact is possible by late spring or early summer. Disagreements remain over politically sensitive issues, including dismantling of protections for Japan's farm sector and for the U.S. auto and auto parts markets. Top TPP negotiators are meeting next week in Hawaii. A new Argentina resolution calls for the government to track how much soy is being hoarded on farms throughout the country by requiring that the sales of silo bags be reported to tax authorities. Producers use the bags to hang on to stocks as a hedge against double-digit inflation. The government has complained that soy hoarding is cutting into tax income. Argentina puts a 35% tax on soybean exports. Argentina also says it is tightening reporting requirements on all grains transactions between farmers and buyers. Top business executives are pressing Congress to give President Barack Obama greater authority to negotiate international trade deals. In a report by the lobbying group Business Roundtable, the CEOs say their expectations for the economy have improved, but that business needs more confidence to increase hiring. Forging a 12-nation trade deal with Pacific Rim countries is one of President Barack Obama's top priorities this year. The number of trucker roadblocks along Brazilian highways was much reduced yesterday. 2 weeks into the protest, the focus is clearly in the southernmost states, including Rio Grande do Sul, where the majority of blocks are in place. But it is far from certain that the movement is winding down. Much depends on the results of a meeting between the federal government and trucker leaders today. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. If you've been wondering about your decision as it's related to Arkin PLC, Gary Schnitke has done some work you can find on the Farm Doc Daily website. The address there, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. He posts each and every Tuesday. Last week, he posted an article about Ark County payments for 2014. Those were based in large part off of the NASS USDA county yields that were released. I talked to him about those numbers and what it means for the potential 2014 ARC County payments for corn.
So our county will make payments when revenue is below a benchmark guarantee. So we need, and it's county revenue, so we need both county yields and a market year average price. And this past week, NAS released its county yields, so we can use those in making our estimates, which will be very close to what the final yields are that FSA will use. Market year average price, we still don't know. The midpoint of for corn is 365, but obviously that could vary up or down. But at a 365 price in the county yields that we're looking at, we're going to see some large ARC county payments around the nation, and you can think of that hitting an area from New York, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, northern Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, that whole area hitting some large payments and maybe even hitting the maximum payment of our county. There's other areas where those payments won't be as large, and that happens to be central and southern Illinois. And in those areas, we could have zero payments. So central Illinois, southern Illinois, Missouri, eastern Kansas, and southern Indiana, probably looking at zero ARC County payments because they had such high yields, and those high yields entered the guarantee calculation and resulted in low ARC County payments.
Can you do the same thing for soybeans?
Soybeans, there's fewer counties with payments, and those counties that tend to have payments are in Iowa. There's some in Wisconsin and some in eastern Ohio and New York, but they're scattered around the country. There's far fewer payments on soybeans, and you had to have some pretty low yields as well.
What does it mean, if anything, to the ARC PLC decision?
Yeah, so for the major decision for ARC County is probably on corn and wheat. Soybeans, it still looks like ARC County is the better choice, but corn and wheat, those decisions are harder. And my guess is that if you're in one of those counties where there's a large payment, that will skew you towards ARC County. And even in central Illinois and Missouri, you're still probably looking at ARC County if you believe prices are going to average above 330 for the next 2015 through 2018. So it's probably not as big of impact on decisions as we may think. My guess is still the Midwest on corn is going to go predominantly to ARC County.
And on soybeans, you still suspect most producers will want ARC County despite the $9 average marketing year price USDA released at its Ag Forum?
Yeah, so $9 a bushel. If you expect $9 a bushel for your market year average price, the reference price below which you got to get for PLC payments is $8.40, so you're still ways above that. And at a $9 price, there would be a sizable soybean payments across much of the Midwest, so that, if anything, may actually push more people towards ARC County than away from ARC County.
Reference price is $8.40. What's the break price on that one?
$7.80. So if you believe market year average prices are going to be above $7.80, you're probably going in ARC County if you're trying to maximize payments under soybeans. $5.50 for wheat.
That, of course, is Gary Schnittke. He's a farm management extension specialist, ag economist at the University of Illinois College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. You can find his thoughts on ARC County and many other topics on the Farm Doc Daily website. He posts there each and every Tuesday in about the noon hour to 1 o'clock time frame. So should be something new up from him today. That's at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Harry Cooney joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon now to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. He is at GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Harry, thanks for taking the time with us. Boy, the ag energies in general have been really interesting to watch, and it has to do with rig counts and OPEC meetings and, I guess, action in the dollar, too.
Oh, you're exactly right, Todd. Good afternoon on this well, I guess we'll say it's the first Tuesday in the month of March, and we've had a lot of activity in the energy markets. You mentioned the rig counts. That's right. The markets are, traders are looking at the number of rigs, operating rigs in the U.S., and over the past couple of months, with the big drop in oil prices, the number of rigs drilling for oil has come down substantially. But just in the last 2 weeks, as the market recovered, Crude oil, of course, got down in the, around $45 and then popped up here in mid-February to $55 as that rally occurred. Now we're still seeing a decline in the number of rigs, but the declines are not nearly to the extent that we had been seeing. So it'll be interesting over time to see if we've actually put in our real lows that'll hold for some time, or if we still need to go down and at least test those lows that were made really right about the end of the month of January.
How do we know rig counts? Who keeps track of it?
Well, there's a report that comes out each Friday, around noontime, around noon Central Time. It's called the Baker Hughes Company, and they've been doing this rig count for a lot of years. It goes back many years that they've been doing this, and so they give it around midday on Friday. This hadn't been looked at very much here over the past few years, but then as the activity in the Dakotas and that and other parts of Texas has really caught on fire here in the last few years, people really started looking at it because they said really to get some of this drilling activity down, we'll probably see some of those rig counts come down, and they definitely have, but that reduction each week now has slowed dramatically. We had been seeing like 80 or 90 rigs being idled there for a few individual weeks, and now it's down to about 30 rigs being idled each week. So we watch that report every Friday around midday.
What do you think of the action in the dollar?
The dollar continues to be on the bullish trend. It took a little breather there in the month of February, but the dollar seems like it wants to resume its upward move. The dollar has had a lightning-fast rally since about July 4th of last year. The dollar eventually probably wants to go on a lot higher. I just didn't think that we're ready to move on higher just yet in the dollar. I thought it would set back more, but as the dollar rises, it tends to be bearish, negative for commodities, including energy. So if the dollar continues to rally, it could dampen any strength in the oil complex.
And then there are a couple of other items left that we probably ought to talk about. It's been cold. Last year we had really high propane prices because it was really high. Any chance we'll see a shortage of propane in the upper Midwest?
Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you brought that up. Propane stocks are some of the highest they've been at this time of year here in the U.S. So even though we've had a fairly cold winter here, especially the month of February was pretty cold, we still have very, very adequate stocks of propane sitting around the U.S. And so now we'll have to get into the build period here after the draws end here. Oh, the draws tend to end by early to mid-April, and then we'll get into the build period. It'll be interesting to see how high the stocks get by next fall after the build period ends. Right now, very adequate stocks of propane.
And finally, just about 40 seconds left. We know that the OPEC meeting was supposed to take place, I think, in April. Are they thinking about moving it up?
Well, it is interesting. Last week there was a rumor, I'm glad you mentioned that, because last week there was a rumor about a possible new OPEC meeting coming up. However, it was quickly dashed by some of the Middle Eastern concerns, and it doesn't look like now that there's anything that's going to be held before the planned meeting.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Harry Cooney. He's with Growmark in Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us on a Tuesday afternoon, the third day of March, to discuss the agricultural energies. We do that each and every Tuesday here on the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Mulled Wine Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1709, Andreas Margraf was born. A German chemist in 1747, he extracted sugar from the sugar beet and determined it was identical to cane sugar. But it was not for almost another century, in 1802, that the first beet sugar refinery would be built. In 1797, the first patent for a washing machine was issued to Nathaniel Briggs. In 1879, Elmer McCollum was born, an American biochemist. He originated the letter system of naming vitamins. He discovered vitamins A and B, and he worked with others on vitamin D. He also researched how certain minerals were important as nutrients, including calcium, phosphorus, manganese, and zinc. Also in 1879, the U.S. Geological Survey was founded by an act of Congress to classify public lands, their geological structures, mineral resources, and products. The first survey actually funded by Congress came some 50 years earlier, examining the land between the Missouri and Red Rivers. And in 1892, the first tuberculosis test on cattle in the U.S. was conducted by Dr. Leonard Pearson, the dean of the veterinary department at the University of Pennsylvania. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Thanks for being with us, Don. Kind of a rough night here in our neck of the woods. A lot of ice in the morning, skating rinks a lot of places. Does it get better or worse from this point forward?
Well, a little bit of both. It is going to get better. It's been a very trying last several weeks across most of the country from the Rockies east, and the system that brought the ice and the snow is going to be able to slip out of the area over the next 24 hours. Of course, the misery is just going to spread to the east and northeast, but we do see some moderation in temperatures later this week, this weekend, and into early next week. We're not going to be as cold and as stormy. Unfortunately, don't know if it's going to last too long. By the second half of March, the last 2.5 weeks of the month, it looks like it'll get stormy again.
Oh, so not out like a lamb for the month of March. April comes in hopefully a little better than that, I would think.
Well, we could hope, but there are plenty of the right things in place to keep March, the second half of it, and into early April, cooler than normal for most of the country from the Rockies east. A lot of the same weather features that were in place this winter to cause that, as we get to early spring, they still may be in place.
So I want to make sure about a couple of things. The guys that are the irrigators in Texas usually plant in March. I take it they're going to have a rough time doing that. And the Delta region usually would get started fairly soon, too.
Yeah, and those areas are we're going to have to keep an eye on. We've had some pretty far penetrations south here in late February and early March of some cold weather. And while I don't see anything looming in the short term, there's plenty of cold left this spring to be concerned about.
Anything in South America we should discuss for the day?
Not too much. I think as they're getting to the tail end of their season, there's nothing that stands out as being too much of a problem right now.
Have you checked on China and the northern growing regions there? Because they'll get started like we do eventually for the northern hemisphere growing season.
Well, as if we were to take a look, first of all, in terms of soil moisture conditions, most of China right now, soil moisture is pretty adequate, leaving winter and heading on into spring. So from that standpoint, conditions look good for them. But at the same time, it also is going to be a little bit like the United States, some stormy weather there. Things have been unsettled. But I think as we look ahead, I think they're going to be in a good position, at least at the start of the growing season.
Thanks, Don, for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
And thanks, Don. Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon, just a week away now from our All-Day Ag Outlook. You can still get your tickets. Hope you will at 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll have a baker's dozen of our analysts, plus a couple of extras, including Chris Hurt and Murray Wise, to talk about livestock and land value. Sue Martin will be there to take take up Ag Futures should be a fantastic day. If you've not made our premier event before, it really is an event to be at. And I hope you can join us next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The Beef House lunch is included for the $25 price. Fantastic day. Find all the information at willag.org. We start at about 7:30 a.m. Central Time, Eastern Time, 8:30. Run till roughly 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Hope you can make it at 217-333-7300. I'm Yovi Extension's Todd Gleason.